You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own and do not reflect. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today I'm going to wrap up the last show. I really was cut a little bit short, and I want to make at least one correction concerning the prebate feature under my Fair Tax Less program, new tax system, because I really did misstate it accidentally, and I want to clear that up. For those that are new to what the fair tax is, it's a broad-based consumption tax. And what does that mean? If you look at income, it is less than consumption. And why is that? Because people, when they consume or spend money, do it from their income, they do it from their savings, and they also borrow money. So you have a significantly bigger base. It's usually about somewhere between two-thirds to as high as four-fifths of income. But it's going to fluctuate over time. It also depends whether the economy is in a recession or not, or how good the recovery is. But the major point is consumption expenditures are much, much larger than personal income that's subject to taxes. And what the fair tax does is replace most federal taxes, namely your personal income tax, your corporate income tax, as well as there would be no taxes on, for example, capital gains from your investment, nor would there be any taxes on dividends or interest income. In other words, investment is not taxed, nor would you have the so-called alternative minimum tax. That would also go away. In other words, the fair tax replaces a lot of taxes. It also replaces estate and gift taxes, which are really a small percentage of total tax collections. But that would be eliminated as well. And the tax rate is 20%. And that's what's called the inclusive rate, to distinguish it from the exclusive rate, which is actually 25%. But let me explain it first. Because some people say, well, you're misleading the public when you give the inclusive rate. Well, that's not really true. Because you want to compare apples to apples, and your income includes the taxes that you pay the government, both payroll taxes and withholding taxes, are included in your personal income. So I'll go over briefly the example that I use all the time. You go in the grocery store and you purchase a loaf of bread for a dollar. Approximately 23 cents of that dollar represents federal taxes, both personal income taxes as well as payroll taxes. What I'm proposing, because there have been critics of the fair tax, they say the rate is too high, and I agree it's too high. I think it should start out at 20%, and that's the inclusive rate. In other words, that when you go and purchase a loaf of bread, you will see on the shelf the price of a dollar. That's not going to change. That is not going to change, or if it does change, it will probably go down. But 20 cents of that $1 that you pay for the bread at the checkout will go to the federal government. Now, the way it works is there'll be a small fee for collecting it, whatever the retail store is, whether it's a grocery store, clothing store, you name it, you're going to pay 20 cents on the dollar. So obviously, the more money you spend, the more taxes you're going to have to pay. And the grocery store or retail store will get a small fee of 25 basis points, 0.25%, and they will send those taxes to, less the fee, to the state, who also will collect a fee of 25 basis points, or 0.25, and the remaining 19.5% will be sent to the federal government. Now, that cannot be clearer, I think. So anytime you go purchase an item, 20 cents or 20% of that price are taxes, and a small fee of 25 basis point, both for the retailer and the state government, will be deducted, and the remaining 19.5% will go to the federal government. The key thing you need to understand is the fair tax is not an additional tax. It replaces the income tax system. In other words, nobody, absolutely nobody, will be paying income tax, whether personal or corporate. And that includes the self-employed. That includes any investment income. Investments are not taxed, so when you have a capital gain, you wouldn't be paying a capital gains tax, nor would dividend and interest income be taxed. And most important, you wouldn't be filling out a tax return come April 15th or whenever you do your taxes. Nor, if you're a business owner and have to file quarterly, will you be filing quarterly in the future? Because the income tax is completely abolished. It's done away with, as is the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, as are the records that were kept to determine in the past what people owed. So that is, in a nutshell, what the fair tax is. And it's important to understand then, once the fair tax goes in and replaces all those federal income taxes, your gross pay will be your net pay. Today, when you get your paycheck, you get a stub, and whatever your gross is, let's say it's $1,000 a week. Deducted from that $1,000 are your payroll taxes, and that's for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. And that's the major tax that about 80% of the country has to pay. Almost everybody has to pay Social Security taxes. And that's the biggest tax by far. It's not the personal income tax. It's not the corporate income tax. It's certainly not estate taxes or gift taxes. It's not the alternative minimum tax, nor is it capital gains on interest and dividends and any appreciation that your investment did. In other words, there will be no taxes on income, which means neither labor or capital, a better way to say it, investments, will be taxed. Now, why should you be in favor of this? First, it provides you a very strong incentive to work, because when you work, you're not taxed. You'll get your gross pay will be your net pay. You determine when you pay the tax, when you actually buy new goods and services, final new goods and services. Now, one thing I need to point out, because many people are in the audience are college students or parents of college students, education is considered an investment and would not be taxed. There's no fair tax on money you spend for education, because that's considered an investment you're making in yourself. So the fair tax would lead to much higher growth rates in the real gross domestic product. It would also result in much higher employment rates and much lower unemployment rates. And more people would be participating. Today, the unemployment rate is 6.7%. And the last time I checked, the labor participation rate was 63.3%. And that's a 38-year low. You have to go back to the Carter years to see a lower rate. Because what happened over time is the labor participation rate went over 66, and in some months over 67%. That's the more normal situation. When the economy is doing very well, people are working, they're participating in the labor force. They want to work. What the fair tax does is provide the economic incentives to encourage individuals to work and save and in turn invest. And what it will mean is much higher economic growth rates, which means much lower unemployment rates. Now, what's the problem? Both political parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, are fighting this tooth and nail. And the reason's very simple. Where do they get most of their campaign contributions? From so-called special interest. And what these special interests have done since the income tax was put in 1913 is lobby for regulations that benefit their business. So they don't want a change in the status quo at all, because they've spent decades getting the status quo exactly where it is today. They don't want a new tax system, even though everybody understands the income tax is very inefficient, very costly just to collect. Compliance costs have been estimated somewhere between $300 billion to $500 billion, and I really think it's higher. Because compliance costs not only include the cost of preparation of your tax return, especially if you're a business, but the planning and research that goes in to structuring transactions to avoid taxes. As a result, businesses, as well as individuals, spend a lot of money hiring tax experts, whether tax lawyers or CPAs that specialize in this, to minimize their tax bill. And they don't want a change in the law. There's a vested interest in keeping the federal income tax, even though they know it's costly. It has drags in terms of negative consequences, in terms of penalizing people from working, penalizing people that invest and save. It's not a good tax, folks, and it needs to be done away with. But a point I need to make, and a very important point, if you're waiting for Congress, either the Democrats or the Republicans, to pass the fair tax, it's never going to happen. It's only going to happen if there's a organized grassroots movement that supports candidates, whether Democrats or Republicans, that are for the fair tax. And you need to check up. This is a sort of a deal breaker. There are two candidates that I sort of like, but I really haven't made up their mind. It's way too early. We're at least 2 years away, over 2.5 years away, from the 2016 presidential election. But both of them, and that includes Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, very impressive people, very articulate people, they don't support the fair tax. At one time, Rand Paul did. Now they support a flat tax on income. The problem with that, and it's a big problem, any Congress can change the tax laws. There's no protection here. So let's say they passed a 17% flat tax. You would still have the IRS. You would still have a massive invasion of your privacy. In other words, information that you need to provide them to determine what your tax bill is. And even though the rate would be flat, the income tax would continue. And then the next time the composition of the Congress changes, it could be wiped out. And that's true with the fair tax, and it's absolutely true with a flat tax. Now, there's an important point. The only way the fair tax is going to be passed is the American people rise up and demand its passage. And I think they will if it's communicated correctly, concisely, clearly communicated exactly what it is. Because most people, when they truly understand it, are for it. I seldom, after I explain it in detail, find people that are against it. Now, there are some common objections you get that you have to answer. And that's why I included in my notes for the last show, and you need to go to the last show, because I've included probably at least 2 to 3 dozen videos. Most of them are short, like 2 or 3 minutes, addressing various questions about the fair tax. Because you need to understand it, especially if you're going to be an advocate for it. You need to be able to answer the questions. You need to be smart on it, because the smarter you get on it, the more persuasive you are, and the more people will come to your side. But it's not going to happen in one election or two. This has been going on for not quite two decades because it's the status quo in Washington, D.C. that is fighting this. Now, there are people in Congress, over 70 in the House, and I'm not sure what the count is today in the Senate, but there's still a significant minority that are for this. But they can't pass it until the American people rally to their side and replace congressmen that are not for the fair tax. So this is, for me, a make-or-break issue. This is a test. And if you're not for the fair tax, you're not going to get any of my money. You're not going to get any of my, you're not going to get my vote. And I will vote you out of office. I don't care how good you are on other issues. Now, I need to make a couple of points and corrections. If you've listened to past shows, you know that I've said the big problem facing the United States, the core central problem that's dramatically impacting the United States economy, is out-of-control government spending. We need tax reform, that's clear, and there are a lot of advantages with the fair tax to have the tax reform. But one of the things I do, and this is my modification, one of about four modifications that I have to the fair tax, that's why to distinguish it or differentiate it, I call it fair tax less. Let's say the fair tax goes in. And just for example, let's say the first year they collect somewhere between $2.5 and $3 trillion. Let's round it off, $3 trillion. We're still going to have a budget that's out of balance. But what's the important point in one of the provisos? Whatever the United States collects in the fair tax, the maximum the federal government can spend next year, I mean 95% of those revenue. Now, what happens to the other 5%? The other 5% is used to pay down the deficit. And once that is paid, not the deficit, the national debt, and that'll take decades. It's approaching $17.5 trillion as we speak. So that will take many, many years, if not decades, to slowly get that down. But once that happens, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The unfunded liabilities are over $130 trillion. And those are primarily for Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare. In other words, the American people have been lied to. There's no money to pay future benefits. We're way short. And to put it in context, the GDP this year will be somewhere between about $16.5 trillion and $17 trillion. Compare that with unfunded liabilities, and there are a bunch of estimates. But everyone, the consensus is it's over $100 trillion, and the people that put a pencil to paper, it's over $130 trillion. You see the problem, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why I say no more baseline budgeting, where the bias is just to increase government spending year after year after year based on inflation and population growth, totally ignoring, disregarding how much revenue is collected. So let's say next fiscal year the government collects, and the fair tax went in, $3 trillion. 5% would go to pay down the national debt. 5% of $3 trillion is $150 billion. That would make a small dent in the national debt. But what's far more important, the spending in the future year would be limited to $3 trillion less the $150. In other words, $2.85 trillion. No more of this gamesmanship that both parties do and games they play about future cuts over 10 years that never happen. As I've said repeatedly, the only year you should worry about is the current year, because this Congress cannot bind future Congresses, and you need to understand that. And the games both political parties are doing is to play the 10-year baseline budgeting dance. And they'll say, well, I've cut $2 trillion, or I've cut $5 trillion. Where they've cut future 8, 9, 10 years out, it never happens. They never cut in the current year, almost never. You see the problem? We have to get rid of balance. We have to get rid of baseline budgeting, and we have to tie the revenue that is collected from the fair tax to the budget. where 95% of last year's collections will be the max the federal government can spend. Now, they can always go less, and I would encourage them to do that, but that would be the maximum. Now, after saying this, what do you think is going to happen? Both the Democrats and many Republicans would scream bloody murder because we've ripped off the con, and it is a con, that both political parties are playing on the American people. And there would be no more excuses for not balancing the budget. And all balancing the budget means is government spending equals total tax collections. And that's what every individual, family, business, charity, church, school, county, state has to do. They have to have a balanced budget. They don't play this fantasy budgeting of baseline budgeting where every department has to go up a certain percentage to take into consider both population growth and inflation. And that has been going on since the 70s. And both parties are guilty of this, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. That's why I have little confidence in either political party. Now, what's going to need to happen is, and this is a secret that neither party really wants to trumpet, more and more people are leaving both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And what is happening is the political affiliation of most Americans today, the number one political affiliation is independent. And that number fluctuates, but it's around 43% today. Now, I've made a prediction. Once it goes over 50%, that's when you're going to see serious attempts to form a third party and throw out of office both the Democrats and the Republicans, because they're living way beyond the means of the American people. These deficits, year after year after year, cannot continue. The tax system, the income tax system, simply is not providing enough revenue. It's broken. It is way too complicated. No one understands it, and it's not producing the income to run the government. Now, I made a modification to the fair tax, and most of the videos I have on last show were produced by the fairtax.org organization. So about 98% of what I call fair tax less is equivalent to what the fair tax .org organization wants. Millions of dollars have been spent researching this, hiring both economists as well as focus groups to determine what's the problem and what is the best tax system to make it easy for the American people to pay their taxes. And remember, your gross pay will equal your net pay. No deductions. No more tax returns. No more tax forms to fill out. No more intrusive invasion of your privacy to determine how much you owe. Anyone that has studied this says it's a guess how much you owe. Not only do tax experts disagree if you give them a case, but also so does the IRS. That's how complicated it is, and it's about time that we scrap. It's over 100 years old, and it's showing its age. It's decrepit, and it's not efficient, and it doesn't provide the strong incentives for the American people to both work, save their money, and invest their money, and only be taxed when they decide to spend their money. Not hard to understand, but you need to understand that the fair tax is a replacement tax. It's not a new tax. Now, some of the critics, and some of them are doing it to confuse you, like to say, well, this would be a new sales tax. No, it would not. No, it would not. And the reason is very simple, and most people don't understand this. The price of any good you buy, including a loaf of bread, includes income taxes and payroll taxes already. Business owners have to cover their cost of doing business, including the taxes they pay, as well as their employee pays. And so nothing really changes. If I went to Kroger today and bought a loaf of bread for a dollar, I would pay a dollar. When the fair tax replaces the income tax, what will I pay for the bread? Probably a dollar. It could be a little less, but probably a dollar. There's no additional sales tax, none whatsoever. Why? Under the existing system, embedded in all prices of all goods and services are these taxes, payroll and income taxes. When those go away, that cost of business goes away. So prices will typically stay the same, because now what happens? The retailer takes 20% of the cost of that loaf of bread. He deducts a small fee of 25 basis points, that's 0.25%, and sends the money to the state, and the state turns around, takes a small fee of 25 basis points, and sends the rest to the federal government. In other words, 19.5%. That's how it works. Now, I need to make a correction, and I really made a boo-boo. But when I make a boo-boo, I get it out in front. I said every American, adult and child, would get a prebate of $500. That is not correct. Under my fair tax less plan, every adult would get a check every month. It's a monthly check. It's based on you existing. It doesn't depend on your income at all. So from the poorest to the richest, everybody, every month, if you're an adult, would get a check for $500. So if it's a husband and wife, they would get a check for $1,000. Now, what is that prebate for? Why do they pay it to you up front? Everybody, both the richest as well as the poorest, have to buy certain goods and services that are the necessities of life. They're essential. Food, water, beverages, rental payments, mortgage payments, electrical bills, water bills, insurance, clothing. Everyone has to buy certain essential goods and services. Now, obviously, if you're very wealthy, you're going to be spending a lot more money, and as a result, paying a lot more taxes. Everyone will pay the same tax rate, that's why it's fair, of 20%. But it's not an additional tax, it's already included in the price of the good and services that you're buying. And you need to understand that, because some people, some critics, will try to confuse you over that. Now, here's another game they play. I'm using the example of a $1 loaf of bread. 20 cents goes to pay the taxes. The 80% goes to the businesses. Now, some of you will say, well, wait a minute. If it's 20 cents out of the dollar and 80 cents goes to the business, then the real tax rate is 25%. In other words, 20 cents divided by 80. That's correct. It's basic math. It's like how many inches in a foot. You see, you can represent what the tax rate is on either an inclusive basis or an exclusive basis. Income taxes are expressed as an inclusive basis because you pay your taxes out of the income that you receive. So if you make $1,000, your payroll taxes, as well as any withholding for income taxes, come out of that $1,000. That's why today, on your pay stub, you'll see a number of deductions, so your gross pay is much less, well, whatever your gross pay is, let's say it's $1,000, about a third of it goes to both payroll taxes and income taxes. So your net pay, and again, it depends on how much your work you're earning, as well as do you have dependents or not. There's a lot of variables here. The point is your gross is really reduced. And for most people, it's about a third. Again, it's going to fluctuate depending on how much money you're earning and what is your family situation, how many are in the household. Under the fair tax, your gross pay would be your net pay. In other words, there would be no income taxes, no payroll taxes, so there are no deductions from your gross. And you decide whether you're going to spend all of it or save some of it. So there's a strong incentive for workers to work, to make more money, because they determine how much they're going to spend. They're going to have to spend some money just for the necessities of life. Now, under the fair tax program, I have a very generous prebate. It's $500 per adult. Under the fair tax organization, it is tied to the poverty line. And that number has creeped up over time, but it's still under $300 an adult. Similarly, for children, and this is where I made the mistake, each child you have would get a $100 prebate. Now, let me explain this tax situation. And let's keep it first very simple. Just say you're an individual and you get $500 prebate. Well, if the tax rate is 20%, how much money are you spending? Five times that. In other words, $2,500 a month. And multiply by that by 12, that's $30,000 a year. That's not a lot of money, but some people that would be good. But those are the essentials. You would be getting $500 a month prebate cash to pay your taxes on essential. That is the clean way to address people purchasing goods that they must have for the essentials of life. Now, for kids, it's $100 a month. Why? The adults, they got to buy a house. They got to pay the electric bill. But children, it's primarily food, clothing, and maybe some electricity. So that's why it's just $100, just $100 per child, which is a little bit more, again, than the fair tax. Now, you need to understand something. Because of this, why am I putting the prebate in? It's politics, folks. It is politics. Because one of the criticisms leveled against the fair tax, it's regressive. It's not progressive. That's not true, folks. It's very much progressive because the prebate is in there. Everybody, every adult in the United States, it's not a function of your income at all, would get a $500 check every month for a total of $6,000 in a year. And let's say you're a family of four. You would get $6,000, your wife would get $6,000, and each child would get $1,200. So add it up. And those are to pay for the essentials of life. The food, your beverages, your clothing, electricity to keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Gasoline for your car, because most people need some form of transportation. They either use public transportation or they have some vehicle that gets them around. So I need to correct that. And the reason I did it was twofold. One, to make this program simple. Now, I understand why they tied it to the poverty level, but that gets a much lower number. But you need to understand, nothing in life is free. There's no free lunch. And of that 20%, that's the fair tax, about 5%, somewhere between 4.5 and 6, but my ballpark figure is about 5%, or about 25% of the entire tax, goes to that prebate to take care of the needy, to make sure the tax is progressive. It doesn't hurt the poor. It is not like a sales tax, or even worse, Social Security, Medicare, and disability. That's highly regressive. And that was the complaint of many people. Most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, don't pay income taxes. The bottom 50% pays less than 3%. What they do pay, and what they all pay, is payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. And that means they have less money to save, less money to invest, and that means we don't have robust growth. We have rather stagnating growth. Now, what this would mean for the American economy and why this would be a boom is the United States economy would be the only economy in the entire world where there's no tax on labor, in other words, when you work on your income, and there's no tax on investment or capital. And what would happen? Investment would flood into this country, and that would mean more business formation and more expansion of existing businesses. And that means more jobs, much lower unemployment rate. That's why I'm a strong advocate of the fair tax. It is much better than the flat tax. And at one time, I was for the flat tax, which usually is, it depends on the individual. They'll say 17% or 20%. It's a flat rate on everyone in terms of their income. But that still requires an Internal Revenue Code. It still requires regulation. It still requires an IRS. The fair tax would get rid of that. And over time, as the people become used to this and really, really like it, then gradually, over time, that 20% rate can be reduced and should be reduced. I think it can, over time, and we're talking decades, but it could be reduced to under 15%, including the prebate. And remember, just a ballpark figure, the prebate cost about 5%. In other words, of the 20% tax, 5% or 25% of the tax is for that prebate to take care and make sure that this tax is progressive. It is not regressive. This is a tax that truly Democrats and Republicans should get behind. But the problem is, it's the status quo. And you need to understand, the people in Washington, D.C. are followers. They're not leaders. Only when the American people stand up and demand the passage of the Fair Tax Less program and vote only for politicians that favor it. And I really think you're going to need a third party to do this. And it's not going to be in one election. It's going to be probably at least 10 years. But it has to start somewhere. And it has to start from the American people, because the leadership in Congress are simply not up to it. They don't have the vision. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the courage. And that's why they're for the status quo. I don't care whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Because anyone that has really studied objectively with an open mind the fair tax becomes convinced we have to do this. This makes sense on many, many levels. It would dramatically increase the growth of the U.S. economy, the employment, and the wealth. It would encourage savings, investment, business formation, and expansion. And the tax burden will actually go down. And the ironic thing, the revenues will probably be significantly higher. Because most people will like the fact that the fair tax is fair. Everybody pays the same tax rate of 20%. And everybody gets a prebate of $500 each for an adult and $100 if they have a child. So join me in marching and forming a political party that will lead to the passage of the fair tax. That is the only way it's going to be passed. The problem with representatives and senators, once they get to Washington, pressure is brought by the establishment. So they go along to get along. They sell out. They become part of the establishment. And some very good people, some people with integrity. But they forget about the people that voted them into office. So we need to get in office Republicans, Democrats that favor the fair tax. And we have over 70 today in the House. I think there's at least half a dozen in the Senate. I don't know exactly how many. So there is some support in Congress for this. But the overwhelming majority of the politicians, career politicians, professional politicians, don't want any part of it. They are scared of this. Why? It would end the political games in terms of the budget baseline. Because remember, I would limit the maximum budget, in other words, the maximum amount that the federal government could spend in any year would be equal to or less than what was collected in the previous year. In other words, 95% of those collections, with the other 5% going to pay down the national debt and sometime in the way, way distant future pay down the unfunded liabilities. I don't know if you can tell in my voice, but I'm still very much under the weather. I had very little sleep last night because I had a really sore throat. I've taken some medication. I thought I was going to start coughing. I haven't done it, and I'm glad. And we won't be having a show tomorrow because the Richland College campus is closed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No point coming to the campus because it will be shut down tight and the wireless will be shut off. So you can't come to the campus and get access to the internet. So there won't be my two-hour show on Friday. And this show can't go much longer. I just got a signal. I can't go much longer. I'll go a little bit longer, but not as long as he said. So you need to get on the bandwagon, but you need to first get educated. Get smart on this. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Explain how it works. And there's several books, both by John Linder and Neil Bortz, that explain this. And you could also go to the fairtax.org site and look at the information there, or you could go to my companion blog for this show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you will have links to usually the last 60 shows. And at the very bottom, you'll have links to all my shows with details as to what they're about. But in between, I've gone all out here to provide you a lot of information. Some of it is fairly long videos, but most of it are 2 to 3 minute videos answering the more typical questions. So look at the videos, and once you like it and have become convinced, read the books, go to the fair tax organization. But keep in mind, I did a little tweaking. I lowered the inclusive tax rate from 23% to 20%, and I've increased the prebate, not quite doubled it, for adults, which means a larger percentage of that tax goes to the people that need that prebate to pay their essentials. And I did that intentionally to encourage people from both political parties to get on board, because this does away with one of the primary objections to a broad-based consumption tax, and that is it's regressive. It absolutely is not regressive. It actually taxes less the people at the very, very low end in terms of their income. But everyone gets that rebate because everyone needs to buy the essentials. But the rich don't get away with it in the sense that if you earn more money, what are you going to do? You're going to spend more money. So if you're one of the very wealthy, such as Bill Gates, just to throw out an example. And he probably spends millions of dollars every year. He's going to pay a lot more taxes, but everyone knows what that tax is. It's 20%. It's 20%. And that's an important point. This tax is transparent. Everyone knows what the tax is. And the reason why this is important, this provides a political force that if any politician, Democrat or Republican, try to go back to the old system, the protest and screams will be loud and clear. And what will happen over time, as the success of this tax becomes clear to everybody, there will be a move afoot to actually lower that tax rate to hopefully under 15%, and that's the inclusive rate. Right now, it would start out at 20%, and that's the inclusive rate. In other words, it's included in the price of the good, and that's the equivalent of the exclusive rate of 25%, and it's simple math. If a loaf of bread, you pay in the price of the loaf of bread, 20 cents goes to taxes. Then on the 20% is the inclusive rate. The exclusive rate is to take that tax out. And then it's 20 cents divided by 80 cents, or 25%. And some people will say you're misleading them. No, we're not. We're making it very, very clear. There's an inclusive rate, just like the income tax, and there's sales taxes that have an exclusive rate. But nothing really changed, because today when you buy a good and service, embedded in the price are all those income taxes and payroll tax. So when the income tax is replaced, done away with, those prices should go down, but added to it will be that 20% inclusive tax rate. And you also got to understand it's linked to the budget. We would insist that every year that the budget be balanced. In other words, spending would equal revenues by definition, because the amount you could budget for would be 95% of the past year's tax revenues. You could always go less, but you can't go more. And this would stop all the gamemanship, the misleading, the lying that both the Democratic Party does, that as well as the Republican Party, every budget year. They're misleading you, folks. They're lying to you. And they're both in on the game. And that's sad to say. So I hope I've convinced you that the fair tax is the way to go. And if you need more convincing, what I suggest you do is review these short videos. They're very, very short. They're usually 2 to 3 minutes max. And even the long video with John Linder, most of that is questions from the audience. So I've given you a lot of information. I've given you a lot to think about, and you should think about it. As I say, do your own homework. Don't believe what I say. Convince yourself. Because if you convince yourself, you will be for the fair tax. And you will join with other Americans to become a political force that it will ultimately be passed. I don't know when. I'm very disappointed that there are very few in the leadership that are supporting this. And what's disappointing is many of those people are misleading the American people as to how the fair tax works, because they're afraid of it. They are really afraid of it. Why? Where do they get most of their campaign contributions? From the same people that are lobbying them to change the tax law to favor either their business, their firm, or their industry, are giving them campaign contributions. And they're not in favor of the fair tax. There are some companies that are, but most of them have a vested interest in the status quo. And we're stuck with a terrible, terrible system. It's very complicated, it's very inefficient, and it's really hurting the American people in terms of the sheer numbers of people that are unemployed. And that's what you need to think about. There are at least 10 million Americans unemployed, but the real number is somewhere between 20 and 30 million, because many of the people that are working can only find part-time jobs. If we pass the fair tax, the U.S. economy would booming. You couldn't go out anywhere and not get a job offer. It's that strong. That's why I'm a real champion of, an advocate for, the fair tax. With that, I want to wish the student body as well as the staff to have a happy Easter and a joyous spring break, and return Monday refreshed and maybe with some of your term papers written. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been both educational and a little bit entertaining. And now, back to the music.